eternal life. Ushers, get ready here. We can't help but give. You know, what I've discovered, and I believe that it's very important, we dare not become the Dead Sea, but the Sea of Galilee. You go over to the Middle East there, the Sea of Galilee is one of the most flourishing seas with fish and life in almost any other sea around. It flows down into the Dead Sea. Why do they call it the Dead Sea? There's no life in it whatsoever. There's an inlet, but no outlet. Isn't that amazing? So if you want to learn how to be a man or a woman out of God's heart, you'll love to give. This is what we saw yesterday. I just want to celebrate here as we've been, John and Emma have been doing a tremendous job here with the food pantry. And so Brother Aaron Fisher wants to go to a new level. So we've been trying it for 3 months to see how it will go. And so I was talking to Aaron because his passion is that the folks of the church get involved in reaching the community. I want to thank Scott was here, Chick was here, Barb, and also Sister Patty, and John and Emma, and all those who came to help. And then we had some show up just to help clean up. It's amazing. Outside this community, wanted to help. And we didn't have quite as many people coming that we were hoping to, and so we went on Facebook. I put a little video clip on Facebook, and you know we got probably about 5 or 6 people coming just because of Facebook seeing that video clip. Some leaders in the community came to get things for their people. We had a lot of that going on, and we were able to get rid of about half of the truckload, and this morning, today, they're taking it up because it's fresh. Some of the freshest vegetables that I've ever seen to give away. And so we want to be a part of that next year, next month here, as the Holy Spirit directs here, because we want all of you to benefit from it. But the capstone. Here came someone asked them to come, and he's a leader in the community, and he wants to help the veterans to be able to get food better. And so I wanted him to see John. But John was leaving. I said, you go talk to John. John can give you some more. But then the truck left too. And so I was out just ready to leave, picking up the signs that we had around here. And so he stopped, got out of his car, and started talking to me. And I want you to know, he was a backslidden leader in the church. I said, you're home. He started crying. You can't make someone cry unless the Holy Spirit is working. That one contact, we had a bunch of other contacts too, but that one contact made me passionate to do more for Jesus. So I got his number. I'm going to be contacting him, and we're going to see him being brought back to Jesus. Give the Lord a hand. Yes, John. Yes, some food down for people. Asparagus. Okay, you can go down and get it if you want to. Now get this. Remember when Todd Stewart was here? He's talking about adoption. And all. He called me last week and said, Pastor, the money that you gave, I want to give to these young people in prison. I spent 3 hours. I'm sorry I couldn't take anybody with me. I wish I would have found someone to go. I asked a few, but they couldn't go. And we went down into the Lancaster County Juvenile Prison for 3 hours. We sat with about 15 girls and guys, 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16. Oh, one came up to me and said, "Thank you for being so excited." I mean, I believe that, you know, I believe when we get Jesus in our hearts, we'll be excited about Jesus. I just have fun. I have fun. Journey with me. Man. But I saw the money we're giving is helping kids, young people, behind bars. They're there and it's, oh my. We have a ministry right around here, folks. Right around this community. Oh, let's get on with God's program in Jesus' name. Oh, we're living in the most, I heard Ben say that this morning too, the most challenging time of all history for the Church of Jesus Christ to arise in Jesus' name. So, the ushers, come. Lynn, do you have it? No? Okay. Come up here, Lynn. I want you to come up anyhow. Yeah. Lynn, come on up here. I want you to bless this offering, if you would, please, Lynn. I'm not putting you on the spot.
No, not
at all. I just want to ask you a question. Bless the offering, if you would.
Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness to us, Lord. Thank you for your people, Lord. Thank you for your love, Lord. May we worship you with all of our hearts, not just with our money, Lord, but with all of our hearts. We love you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. So just stay here. God bless you as you get. Come here. Come here. Lynn, I'm having some good times with you and your family. How long do we go back with your family?
Way back. Brother Luke and Sister Edna were our ministers on Derry Street.
50 years?
Yeah.
50 years?
Yeah, about 50. Well, maybe almost 50 years, yeah.
I remember when you were just a youngin', and I was just a youngin' too.
Yeah, yeah.
Up there on, what's the name of that street?
Derry Street?
No, way up before Sangre's place. Lucknow.
Oh,
Lucknow.
Yeah.
See, that goes way back, Naomi.
She doesn't remember.
Way back.
She's like, Lucknow where?
Lucknow. No, I was just thinking about that this week here, and I want you to know, we're going to, you know, I remember when you were at that ministry. That mother of yours is an amazing mother, you know?
Oh, yeah.
She took you all over the world, didn't
Oh,
she?
Yeah. It wasn't boring, that's for sure.
Well, I just want these people to know. She's from, where are you from?
Well, I live in Canada right now.
Yeah, live in Canada.
Yeah.
And so we just want to pray. They're looking about trying to help Mom out and Regina out with the situation here. So we're just saying, God's perfect will is going to be done for you and your husband.
Yes.
Rick?
Eric.
And so we're starting to contact. So I just want you to know we appreciate you and your family.
Thank you.
God bless you.
I appreciate you all, too.
Here's here. Nice. Wow. Yeah, this is something here today. We're just trying our best. Brother Justin, come on up here if you would. Scott here, we are having revolutionary services here. I want you to know that. And let me tell you, when you miss a service, I don't care what it is, you miss a service. And that's the way it is here at Great Chapel. But about a month ago, we meet here in the prayer garden just on Tuesday at 7. We just have a passion for prayer, and we're learning about prayer. And I think it was Christine that asked about prayer, and then Scott started saying about the Lord's Prayer. And so Scott began to teach. I said, Scott, Lucas, you need to teach about the Lord's Prayer. So we're going to give him a couple weeks here in the midst of his working. And he brought out something. Bill Johnson said, any revelation from God's Word that does not lead us to an encounter with God only serves to make us more religious. The church cannot afford form without power. For it creates Christians without purpose. In this present hour, we need much more than to learn how to identify our personal gifts or discover ways to be more successful in ministry. We need the Father Himself. We need His presence. The gospel is the story of the Father wooing the hearts of mankind through His love. All the other stuff we do overflows from that discovery. So you understand what happened this morning. The Holy Spirit was wooing us. He's a gentleman. How many can say amen to that? But there is a wooing of the Holy Spirit. And that's why I sense this morning, and I want you to be free. Every time we worship, I like to see these altars filled with worshiping people. That's why I come up here, because I honor the altar of the Lord. I want all of you to be free to do that as we're worshiping. Help yourself. Don't be intimidated by anybody else when you want God in your life. Press into God. So, brother, he's going to be sharing here this Tuesday, and I wanted him to explain what he's going to be sharing on.
Can you hear me now? All right. Praise the Lord. Appreciate everybody here. Brother Ben, the worship team, I just appreciate the sensitivity you have to the Holy Spirit. Pastor Mel, thank you for giving room for the Spirit of God to breathe. And I so appreciate the zeal and the heart. You know, I've said this before, but I could bear witness when Pastor Mel was sharing about the one sister saying, thank you for being so excited. Because a lot of times, it's so easy, especially when you get up in age, to not be as excited because you feel like, you know, I'm burnt out, I'm burnt up, and whatever. But here's a man who has tapped into a reservoir of God's presence. And thank God it's available to all of us. Amen?
Amen.
But I just want to encourage you, this is an exhortation announcement, okay? I think the announcement should be anointed. So
amen.
Praise the Lord. But I want to read an article first to you. This is in no means, by any way, a spirit of condemnation, but I really hope that you can get the spirit of conviction behind this article. Actually, my spiritual father has written, but I really felt like this has best articulated what I've sensed in my heart, actually since the beginning of the year, that when we started really intentionally having times of prayer, prayer gatherings. And so I want to read this to you. Churches in America, it's time to rescue the dying prayer meeting. Listen to this. Let's face it, except in a relatively few cases in churches all across America, the prayer meeting is dying and needs to be revived and rescued. I've pastored long enough to know that a good attendance on Sunday morning doesn't necessarily mean a spiritual, healthy, and vibrant church. It's the prayer meeting that is the true temperature gauge measuring the depth of spirituality within any congregation. I've preached in sanctuaries that can hold thousands and then attended the prayer meeting where there's just a relatively few people. When we think of Jesus, let's consider about the crowds in his prayer meetings. After 3 years of manifesting perfect ministry, Jesus had crowds follow him because he healed their sick and gave them fish and bread to eat. His crowds were no indication, however, of the true and lasting success of his ministry. But at the end of his perfectly conducted earthly ministry, he ended up with 120 in a prayer meeting, and that's what gained heaven's attention.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Most pastors would have gone into a depression, especially after seeing the thousands they had preached to. However, God's fire came upon the lives of these 120 who were committed to prayer, and the world has never been the same since.
Yes.
Thank
Hallelujah.
God. Forget putting all your efforts and thousands of dollars that it would take to build some super-duper megachurch. But do all you can to first build your prayer meetings. Because of when God's house comes back into divine order, it will become first and foremost a house of prayer. Then it will become a house of presence. Then leading, it would become a house of power and praise.
Amen. Yes.
And your community will never be the same. Upon entering the temple, Jesus emphasized that it must become what? A house of prayer first. If Jesus was to walk into our churches and begin spiritual renovations, I think he'd begin with the prayer meeting. Seriously. We're in a desperate need of a true spiritual awakening, and so it's time to rescue the dying prayer meeting. When we do, we'll see a red-hot love for Christ return into the hearts of saints. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, like this morning, will be stirred up afresh and active within the members, and a sincere burden to see Christ save the lost of our generation will be recaptured again. This is what happens within the hearts of praying people. In case you're wondering what happens in prayer meetings, it's time to take the jettison the crafty programs to build churches, but rather develop a people who seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and allow Christ to build his church both supernaturally and miraculously through a praying community. Can somebody shout amen over
amen.
That this morning? Prayer meetings. I want to encourage you Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. We come to pray, and there is some teaching, but mostly it's time of prayer. Teaching to really get us to understand, like questions, how do we pray? How do we approach the throne of God? How do I warfare in my life in prayer? How can I capture heaven's attention concerning the areas of my life that I really need heaven's attention to pour out on? Brother Scott Lucas did a great teaching, and I want to encourage you. I know Brother Ben, he recorded, and you're going to be able to listen to it online. But after his teaching, we had time of prayer. And we all wanted, you know, time to hear what God had to speak. And this, I want to share just some of what God spoke to my heart. And I want to encourage you to come on out Tuesday. Many times how, and I shared this actually this morning, many times fighting a war, though, is not completed within 5 to 15 minutes. When you really think about engaging battle, you can't just show up and be like, all right, my 5 minutes is done, the war is over. As long as the enemy is still a threat, as long as there's still that contention, until there comes a peace and a calm, the war is still there. And so the Lord began to speak this to me. He says, you know, the battle a lot of times is not complete within 5 to 15 minutes of just a prayer time. There's some times where it needs to take an hour. There's times where it goes beyond an hour. There are times where it does take 20 minutes, whatever the case may be. But it's about intentionally engaging yourself and posturing yourself until the Prince of Peace begins to show up. And so two things I felt as a body that we need to war in prayer. And I'm going to get probably exhort a little bit on Tuesday, teach a little bit on this concerning warring in prayer, and then we're going to really engage in prayer. But two things I felt the Lord speak to my heart that we need to war over. Principalities. The Bible says we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness. And the second thing the Lord spoke to my heart to war over is self. a lot of times our self, it becomes a hindrance for God wanting to breathe through our lives. In other words, the battle that we all of us really face, a lot of times that we need to overcome, is the battle of complacency. We get so comfortable with where we're at. Sometimes we want God to do a healing or something within our life, but we get so used to living impaired that we just say, well, when I die and go to heaven, I know I'll be different. And yet we're willing to risk living a whole entire life shortening the arm of God in our lives because we've gotten too complacent and too comfortable. Rather than being like the woman who would press against the whole entire crowd, who spent all of her money on doctors and all these other kind of resource ways that all proved to fall short, she says, but there's a man, there's a healer in the midst. I need to press through the barriers to get and just to touch his garment. That's the kind of spirit when we gather together in prayer in this house, praying for the body, and of course we pray one for another, but there's more that gets accomplished than just praying to the Lord. You see, there's a desire, I know Pastor Mel shared a vision, that God would raise up a prophetic people. Well, you cannot even begin to prophesy unless you first know the voice of God. And so what's accomplished, one of many things in this time and gatherings, is that it facilitates for us to come together, not only to pray and just to give ourselves in prayer, but also to receive, Lord, what is God saying? How do I know that I'm hearing from God? And a lot of times, I love it every time, when we begin to become sensitive to sensing what the Spirit of God is ministering to our hearts, sometimes there's a brother or a sister, they begin to pray the very thing that was in my heart. Amen. Next thing I know, I'm hearing God.
Yeah.
So if you're at a place of wondering, gee, how do I hear God? I'm not a prophet. Listen, the Bible says, Peter said this, in the last days, sons and daughters, plural, shall be able to speak, shall be prophets, shall prophesy. So I want to encourage you to come on out in prayer meetings because this is your opportunity not only to pray into the health and the spiritual health of this body that you call church. I really want to encourage you in this. If you call this to be your local church, you need to come out in prayer meeting because that is the vitality of all that occurs here. There's nothing that we can have all the programs we want, but there's nothing that's going to be anointed without it coming out of the place of prayer.
Amen. Amen.
And so I want to encourage you with that this morning. Mm-hmm. And so I want to encourage you, 7 o'clock, Tuesday, come on out. I really hope that article has really captured your heart. If you want a copy of that, you just let me know. Give me your email. I'll send it to you. But I want to encourage you, come on out with the Spirit of Prayer Tuesday night. Amen?
That principle you're dealing with, which is a principle, nothing of eternal value happens without prayer. That's amazing, Justin. When we understand the value, and Jesus spoke more on that. Very interesting. Jonathan Edwards, he was a mighty man of God back many years ago, and he died at an early age. He said, it is God's will through His wonderful grace that the prayers of His saints should be the one of the great principal means of carrying on the designs of Christ's kingdom in this world. Wow, that's... Let me read it again. Listen. It is God's will through His wonderful grace that the prayers of His saints should be the one of the great principal means of carrying on the designs of Christ's kingdom here on this earth. It's very, very, very important for us to see. Yes.
You know, we all carry a measure of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says this. It says that Jesus had the Spirit of God without measure. But the Bible also says we have the Spirit with measure. When we gather together, church, prayer meeting especially, we bring a measure. It's like when we have a potluck, right? Or we have, a picnic in the back. We bring what portion of casserole, whatever. What you bring adds more to a feast. If one person brought something, guess what? Everybody's still going to be hungry.
Yeah.
All right? That person who brought it might be full, or maybe a few people, they share it. But we all carry a measure. And in order for God, in order to experience the manifest presence of God in our midst, you need to come bringing the measure you carry.
Wow.
Because the more the measure, the more the merrier. The more we come adding this measure and that, next thing you know, we could be like David said, my God, Lord, you set a table before me in the presence of my enemies, among my brethren, among my sisters. So when we come Tuesday night, you're even here. I don't just come, okay, I just want to, you know, receive. Or whatever. No, I've come to give something. I've come to bring what measure that I have to offer to line it with the measure that he's been praying and he's been conjuring up. And with Brother Chick and Sister Chris. And when we begin to bring our measure together, my God, I saw Jesus in the prayer meeting. I saw Jesus this morning in church. When we come up, like coming up to the front, I was thinking of this. Not only are we acknowledging, Lord, I need you to do war for my life, but Lord, I come with what measure I have to give.
Yeah.
The young boy had just a little measure of fishes and loaves. He says, Jesus, here I go. And you know what he did? He increased it. And when you come and you bring the measure you carry, the Spirit of God, and say, Lord, I give it unto you, God says, I'm going to increase your measure. You have been willing to faithfully give of what I've given you. As you've been faithful with little, I'm going to make you faithful over much.
Amen.
And so I want to encourage you out. If you're saying, man, I want to experience the manifest presence, well, come with your measure and bring a friend. Because they're going to see Jesus too in the midst. Amen?
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is great.
I just want to confirm what Brother Justin shared because I read that same thing from his Uncle Philip. And I was so moved by what he shared about the church and the prayer. You know, we have a prayer garden here that doesn't ever get prayed in very often, but there's people that's starting to come from the outside. And we're fixing that up so people can pray in there. We've got two prayer cubicles that are available for people to pray during the service or throughout the week. And so God has been tugging at my heart. It's so important to come before the Lord with our needs and our petitions and for this body. And, you know, when we fail to get before the Lord and begin our time with him and praying for whatever the needs are of this house or our families, then we become, we aren't operating because our communication with him is not like it should be. And so we begin to complain and talk about one another. And there's been some backbiting going on. Things have been said in this house that should not have been going on. People complaining, talking about the pastor, what he does or what he doesn't do. Things that they've conjured up in their mind thinking that something's going on. And that's not of God, folks. It's not of God. And it's time that we get before the Lord on our knees and call upon him. And we've gone through some challenging times in our life. And yet, I found that my refuge has been in the Lord. It has to be in him. I don't talk to a lot of people about what I'm going through or what I sense. I just don't do that. I learned from a young age from my parents and my grandparents. I take my needs and petitions to the Lord, and that's where it's at, is coming before the Lord. I grant it that we do share with one another and encourage one another, but it's so important to come to know the Lord in that measure of communicating with him. And he knows our hearts, and I pray, search me, O God, try me, O Savior. See if there be any wicked way in me. Search me and cleanse me from everything, any sin or whatever it might be. And make me like you. Create in me a clean heart. Make me more like you is what my prayer is. And so I'm encouraging you. Someone shared to me the day of my mother's homegoing, that I was now the mother of the church. And I don't look at myself as the mother of the church. But when they share that with me, two ministries share that with me, and they've encouraged me to step out and just start operating what God has placed in my heart. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm telling you now, the backbiting and the gossiping has to stop. If you want to grow in God, if you want to see your loved ones, your children and your grandchildren in the kingdom of God. They hear you. They hear what you say. They know what you're saying. You know, I said to somebody this week, I can discern, and it's not, I would think, God, please don't show me these things, or why do I see this, or why do I hear this? But I'm telling you now, you can just walk into a room and you can know something is going on if God's prompted you to. And I haven't hit it. I haven't nailed it because of my inabilities or my intimidation, I guess is the word. But I'm telling you what, folks, if it's going on, it's going to stop. Because if it doesn't stop, God's going to shut your mouth and he's going to do something. I'm not making a threat. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. He says not to be speaking those things in darkness, because he will bring it into light. If you're saying things that's not right, he's going to bring it to light, and he's going to expose you. He'll expose. You know, I came from a church in Colorado, and there was a brother who was dear to my heart. He was a Sunday school teacher, and he was doing something that was not right. It was not right, and God forbid that this would ever happen, but in one of the services, the man fell over with a heart attack and died in the church. And I don't want to be something like that. I don't want nothing to happen to me or my family or my church family, because God wants a vessel, a bride that's clean and white, that he can, that we can be the bride of Christ. He's not coming with for a bride that's got spots and wrinkles and tears and wherever in the lies or whatever. He's coming for a spotless bride. And so I pray that you would be, check your hearts, ask God to touch you. And if there's anything, and if you've aligned yourself, if you've listened to stuff and you're aligning yourself, you need to ask God to forgive you, because that's just the same as saying something. If you don't put a halt to it when it's happening, you will be judged for that. He says he will judge us for every idle word. Every idle word. You know, we have the beautiful occasion of taking care of our little grandson when he's with his dad. Some of you are aware of that situation. And so we have purpose in our heart. This is the time to speak into his little heart and life and to minister peace to him. There's all kinds of confusion in his little mind and heart right now. But God is doing something beautiful. His name is not Ezra for just somebody pulling a name out of a hat. God had a purpose in that young man's life and what he's going to be accomplishing. And so one night I was giving him a bath and getting him ready for bed, and I turned on some beautiful guitar music with Amazing Grace and different things that Brother Dusty's friend gave us, and he fell asleep, and I saw his little mouth. It just little teeny mouth. When he smiles, it's a great big smile, and he's all over the place. But when he's sleeping, I started praying over him. I mean, I've always prayed over him, but especially now, praying over him and just asking God to touch his little heart, minister to peace to him, that he would sense the presence of Jesus in our home. My youngest daughter came over about a week ago, and she had been sick with a cold or whatever, and discouraged about some things with their purchase of their new house that they were getting. And so she just started crying. So I said to my husband, "So let's just anoint her with oil and just pray for her." And so we did, and little Ezra was standing right there, and he had his hand on her knee, and his little head was bowed. And so my husband says, "Ezra, you say a prayer for Aunt Missy." And he started to pray, and he prayed a simple little childlike faith, "Jesus, touch Aunt Missy, heal her." And that was it. And he looked at her and he said, "Be healed," and pointed at her. So what we say and how the atmosphere is in our home will touch people. And that little child was touched to do that, you know. So I encourage you. I love you so much. I know what God is doing in my heart. I know there's a lot more that needs to be done. But I encourage you, use this prayer room. Use those prayer cubicles. You want to pray during the service, go in those prayer cubicles. That's what they're for. I remember Sister Marie Miller would that was her ministry for a long time. And then when she was at home, she had the home ministry. But she was in charge of making sure those prayer rooms were filled every Sunday. So I encourage you, let's begin to seek the Lord. We want to see the church move in the ways of that He's created us to move. It'll come before Him on our knees. And I'm going to tell you this too, that He who has begun a good work is faithful to complete it. He didn't bring this church out in the middle of nowhere for nothing. There's a purpose. And I saw testimonies at my mother-in-law's funeral of people's lives who were touched. There were over 700 people here, the funeral director told us. And we had others that wanted to come. People from around the world were sending messages. And she touched so many people's lives because of her faithfulness to Him. And she was a prayer warrior. And she prayed in the Capitol. People from the Capitol even said something to the family about her faithfulness at the prayer at the Capitol. So let's get off of our butts and get on our knees and begin to call on Him. I don't usually say that, but I am today. I'm sorry. Bleep or whatever you say. But it's time. It's time, folks. And the mission program in this church has touched lives around the world. And that's not going to fold up in the name of Jesus. That's going to continue on because He is the one. He's the one who laid it upon my father-in-law's heart and my husband's heart, my heart, from a child on. Missions is the heart of God, reaching out to the lost and dying world. And that's what we're here for.
Ezra, thank you, Rosemary. Ezra means God helps, means sage or wise one. The Hebrew Bible, Ezra returned from the Babylonian exile and reintroduced the Torah in Jerusalem. So that is my little son that is going to that's why it was named, you know, too. And let me say something here. In Jesus' name, no one is in this house is going to be come against by God, because everyone is going to press into God. Can I say that? Can you agree with me? In Jesus' name. We're not going to have any of that in Jesus' name.
A lot said here this morning. There's a lot said about young people. There's a lot said about prayer. I had an experience this past week with a young man. I didn't see him for 4 years. He was 18 years old when I saw him last. His daddy forsook him. He was angry. He went out in the world, left home. He's 22 years old right now. I did not see him for 4 years. And brothers and sisters, I could not believe what I was hearing out of my ears. This 22-year-old young man, I walked into his presence accidentally, and I could not get away from him. Listen what I'm saying. A 22-year-old young person saying, all that I had in this world is just going to get burned up. He said, I went out into the world, and there's nothing out. I'm looking for God. I'm looking for Jesus. And I'm asking people, how do I find God? Where is God? And he said, I am shocked. The believers that I talked to, the answers and responses they gave to me. I talked an hour and a half with that young man. And you know what he said? You just made my day. You know what? The challenge came to me personally. I'm a believer for almost 35 years. And some are in here more than that. Have we left an effect as a believer to our next generation? Can they sense the presence of God in our lives? Can they sense the Holy Spirit, the anointing flowing out of us? And it broke me. Then yesterday, I met a young couple here in the last moment of the food day. A young family of four children. They just come back from South America.
Amish
background. I didn't know. Anyhow, powerful. Talking to that man, he had tears in his eyes. And what I'm trying to say here this morning is, it's time you and I and wake up and get serious with God. And I'm going to switch gears a little bit. Just mention about prayer meeting. And it's good to come to prayer meeting and pray. That's great. But do you and I get alone with God at night, all by ourselves, and weep, God, I tasted you. I don't want to lose what I have got. And oh God, I have this need in my life. God, I need you in my heart. I need your presence. That is real prayer life. It's great to come together in the presence of other believers. But how much do? That's why Jesus went to the mountain by himself. And he cried unto his Father. Father, I need you. I need you to help me do this. Because he was human like we are. That is real prayer life. That is the sincerity of our heart that flows out of our innermost being. How many people are saying, oh, they want to go to the world, the young people, and do drugs? Because we're not living what I'm professing to be. Because we say we love Jesus and we're living Jesus and we're nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. And we don't want that Jesus. We want the real Jesus. And that's a burden of my heart. I was just weeping last night. I was just weeping and weeping and weeping over it. I said, God, please forgive me for not living the way I used to live. I don't want to live like I used to live. I want to be anointing. And God has put a young man in our home, a 17-year-old son, that his father rejected him. And, oh God, it challenges me so much. God is testing me. Am I really dead to myself? He's very, very trying. But you know what? It's the best thing God can do to me.
Amen.
Being somebody in my presence without my family to show who really I am. To help that young man to find his way. I'm saying, brothers and sisters, it's time you and I wake up and start living like Jesus so the world can see the real Jesus.
Amen.
Not this frizzle frighting and jumping and yelling and shouting. No, the real Jesus, the real power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's what we need. Mm-hmm. That's what I need. Do you mourn over your struggles? Do you say, God, please, help me. I say many times to God, I say, God, this flesh has to die. It's got to die. I'm serious. I'm being honest with you. That's me. That's who I am. I'm not different than anybody else. I may have the same stuff anybody else is. My flesh has to die daily. And Jesus said it clearly. If any man follow me, he has to deny himself. And the very intriguing verse that comes to me, as Jesus said to his disciples, that is that when you love one another, all men shall know you are my disciples. Mm-hmm. But what does the next verse say? Then Jesus says, now I give you a new commandment. Love ye one another as I have loved you. And how did Jesus love us?
Unconditional.
Brothers and sisters, that is a challenge. And we can't do it on our own unless we humble ourselves and are broken before God. Then the Holy Spirit can help us. God bless you all. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Put Ecclesiastes 8:4 up if you would. You know, Dad, I know you got to take care of business, so go ahead. Let him do it. Isn't that amazing? At 92, he's still getting around. That's amazing. But I feel this prayer, whole thing was Mother's vision for the church. And I'm just amazed at what, since she's passing away, there's people coming that I didn't ask them. They want to use this prayer garden. And so we have nice seats in there and that you can sit down and anybody can come and just spend time with the Lord. Now, I believe we are called not only to manage this season, but to master this season with supernatural wisdom from heaven through the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, this season can be managed by the Holy Spirit if we give Him room. And through the wisdom and the anointing that He gives us. And here's a scripture. I'll read it out of the King James, first of all. This is where God gave us this week. And I just want to leave this with you. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what dost thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Okay, now, let me read it out of the Message Bible because it helps us to understand it just a little bit better. Do what your king commands. You have a sacred oath of obedience. Don't worryingly, I never saw that word before. Worryingly. Look at that. You have it up? No, you don't have it up there. Okay. Don't worryingly second guess your orders or try to back out when the task is unpleasant. Oh, me or amen? Anybody here? I think that really hits the nail on the head, you know, when God begins to give us an order. Unpleasant task. You're serving His pleasure, not yours. Let's get that settled here today. Okay? I love this. The king has the last word. Who dares say to him, what are you doing? Carrying out orders won't hurt you a bit. The wise person, here it is, obeys promptly and accurately. Come on. In Jesus' name. Yes, there's a right time and way for everything. Even though unfortunately we missed it for the most part, it's true that no one knows what's going to happen or when. Who's around to tell us? Can we say amen? Come on, Bill, Eleanor. We're saying, God, you don't know we're around. We're all saying that, aren't we? We're all saying it. I believe what is happening today through giving way, and this is where, as a pastor, it's a very fine line for me. You understand, I have a message that I'm going to preach throughout the summer, so I can lay that aside here, and I'm going to be developing, and I'll bring it next week here with the body, the authentic body of Christ. And I want you to read it, okay? Check your bulletin. I love that. Thank you for bringing that up here. Check your bulletin. And You see, I have written there, and the way I'm going to do it, I was going to read it together, but I want you this week to take that. I have developed that. That's a lifetime of developing my message on what the authentic body of Christ should look like. And I'm giving it to every one of you today. I want you to prayerfully read over that and allow the Holy Spirit to use it to bring us all. And here's my, just give that first scripture up, if you would, back there, John, on my message. I'll just leave this with you. And let me define it. John 17, 15 through 23. I just want to leave this with you because this is where I'm going next week. But the authentic, I believe it's time that we understand what the authentic body of Christ looks like. Amen? God clearly defines it in Scripture. And what the word authentic means, it's undiluted, original, genuine, made or done in the traditional or original way, or in a way that is faithfully resembling the original, based on fact, actual, reliable. And we have the Word of God. Jesus is our original. This Word, your pastor is passionate to help every one of you get back to this Word. That's my passion. Anytime I talk with anybody, that's where I'm at. Now, let me read to you where we're starting from. I believe, and I want you to begin to read John 17. Write this down so you have it. John 17, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. Those are the chapters that God has given to me, and I've been listening and listening and listening to it. Personally, I believe Romans 12 is one of the most authentic picture of the body of Christ. John 17, okay, John 17, Romans 12, and 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. Those are the chapters that we're going to be looking at throughout the summer here. And that's the track we're running on. But I want you to, let's read this all together. This is what Jesus said through verse 23. If we could do this. Remember, this is Jesus' high priestly prayer. I'm going to break this down for you here next week. But this is the pivotal time in Jesus' life that he is getting his disciples ready for him departing this world and sending the Holy Spirit. It's a pivotal time in Jesus' life. And we want to learn what this really means. So let's read it all together here, verse 23 here. I do not, Jesus is saying this, let's read it together. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for those alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world might believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I've given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and I have loved them as you have loved me. Look at that. What? That they may be made perfect in what? One. Holy Spirit, you're doing something here in Grace Chapel that we are excited about. You want your way to be accomplished. Lord, I pray that you will radically realign all of us here today. So Grace Chapel, everyone that is a part of Grace Chapel, everyone that has been a part of Grace Chapel in the past, will radically realign to what your heart is, that we will become one so the world will know that you are alive on planet Earth. Amen? Why not? You know, we make it so hard when it's so easy. It's a death route, Sister Flo, as John was saying. It's dying daily. As Jesus said, the crisis of the will. Not my will. He didn't want to go through in his manly, he was total man, in his man's understanding of why he came. You know, he was total man, and he was acting out of that. But what made him different is that, nevertheless, not my will. I tell you what, I have to do a lot of that every day, folks. Let me tell you, in ministry, in anything we do, we have to do that every day. Yesterday, I didn't want to do everything that I knew he asked me to do. But you know something, my dear brother? I received supernatural strength. Now get this, folks. I like to help you to understand. I'm not complaining about anything here. I'm just helping you to understand that when God speaks to your heart, simply obey Him. He woke me up at 3 o'clock. I tried twice to go back to bed this morning. God, what are you doing? Well, this is the outcome this morning. He said, can you let me have my way? Now, my dear brother Scott, I spent hours on this message I was going to preach to you today. Hours! And, you don't understand how, brother Bill here, how easy I could have adjusted. All right? But I'm sharing my heart with you because we have to walk this out together as a body of believers. And so I am so thankful that I can commit you all to the oversight of the Holy Ghost. And I am thrilled. Even if faith is a substance of hope for the evidence of things not done, I am thrilled at what God is going to do through each one of you today, throughout this week. In Jesus' name, you're going to be surprised. You know, last Sunday, I want to celebrate here, Deborah. Last Sunday, I heard that she had a water problem. Get this, she just got out of the hospital, had surgery on her, hernia surgery. Now get this. Friday, she just was in and out, got out. And then, when did that, Saturday night? Saturday night, one of the water lines broke in her house. Okay, in the middle of the night, the main water line broke. And so I heard this through Irene, and thank God I went right over before service last Sunday, and we make sure that everything goes right. If we needed to get it fixed, we're going to get it fixed quickly. But thank God your brother, is it your brother or your son. But anyway, now get this, which I think is a miracle. Here she had insurance that for the last week she's been putting up in the hotel. Give the Lord a hand. To recuperate. I think that's powerful. I love that. Amen. Amen. Lord, is there anything else yet we need to share? And Naomi, you have something, okay? What do you want to share here today? I don't know where it's at. Okay. Just one moment, okay? Here it is. So good to see Naomi here with your youngins. What do you want to say?
I just want to say that what's happening in my life, that I'd say for about a month now, I can't wait to go to bed. And it's at, 6 o'clock or something, 6:30. Anyway, I know why, because I talk to Jesus, and Jesus talks back. And I am so... It's so different than what I think and how I talk and what, how to be, have a, he says, it's have a relationship with me. Quit thinking you're visiting me. Quit thinking you're doing everything right. He says, I want a relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm amazed at all he says. And I was telling her, I can't tell her everything. Sometimes I forget what the night before. I can't wait to go to bed. And then I hear him again. But what I'm saying that God really, you'd be amazed what God tells you.
Yes.
And what you should do and mm-hmm. what you shouldn't do. But and he tells you what you do that's wrong. And you think you're doing good. He says, beware of that. But sometimes some things come good, but they're not good. That's the enemy trying you.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are, I could tell you a lot of things, but I was telling her.
Mm-hmm.
And I every night I say, Lord, a relationship. He's saying a friend, a
yes.
close friend.
Amen.
That you would talk to and tell.
Yes.
And I would say something. Then he would say something else and that I didn't like or whatever. But he was telling me what's wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to make a way through it.
Amen.
But it is so beautiful.
Well, thank God. I mean, at your age, you're still having a lot of time
yeah,
with God.
I'm not going to die.
Woo-hoo! Well, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. And it's good enough for me. Well, makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. And it's good enough for me. Let's get up. Amen. And just appreciate one another. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Oh, we have communion. Why don't we end with that?